Greetings, and welcome to the IO MSN Town Hall Discussions conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. A brief question-and-answer session will follow a formal presentation. If anyone should require operator assistance during the conference, please press star zero on your telephone keypad. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. It is now my pleasure to introduce your host, Jennifer Smirka. Thank you. You may begin.
Good evening, everyone. On behalf of the IOMSN and as co-chair for this program, I'd like to welcome you to the fourth installment of the monthly town hall discussions entitled Time Management for the MS Nurse, which will be given by Kathleen Costello. As a reminder, these educational sessions will be held by phone on the third Tuesday of each month. Each town hall discussion will be led by an IOMSN member speaking on a selected topic for approximately 15 minutes. This will then be followed by an open discussion limited to 1 hour. We'd like to acknowledge and show our appreciation to Biogen IDEC for supporting this program through an unrestricted educational grant. And tonight, I'd like to introduce you to Kathy Costello. Kathy is an adult nurse practitioner and research associate at the Johns Hopkins MS Center, located in Baltimore, Maryland. She is also executive director of Project Restore, which is a project to help fund multiple sclerosis and transverse myelitis research initiatives at the Johns Hopkins MS and Transverse Myelitis Centers. She is a past president of the IOMSN and is currently a member of the IOMSN Research Committee. She is also the project chairperson for the Consortium of MS Centers, MS Specialist Certification Project, and is a member of the CMSC Board of Governors. She is also co-chair of the National MS Society Maryland Chapter Clinical Advisory Committee. And of course, in her spare time, she has written and lectured extensively on MS and MS care. So I think it's entirely appropriate that Kathy share her success for time management for the MS nurse. Please join me in welcoming Kathy for this evening's meeting. Kathy, I'm going to turn the meeting over to you now.
Thanks so much, Jen. And I am sitting here chuckling about time management because inherent in everything you've said, everyone who's on this call should be saying, good Lord, this girl doesn't know how to say no. That's her problem. So good evening, everybody. And thank you very much for joining in on the call this evening. I really want to thank Jennifer and also Lori, the co-chair for these town hall meetings, Lori Mayer, who have coordinated this and the other programs and more to come. And they have really done an outstanding job. And I want to thank the IOMSN and their education committee for committing to and supporting the programs, and to Biogen IDEC for their generous support, because for every good idea, nothing comes to fruition unless there's support. So while I think the discussion about time management in MS nursing is clearly essential, I have to say I absolutely laughed out loud when I read in my email that this was the topic that was suggested for me to present. Time management, I have to tell you, is a struggle for me nearly every day. I'm a nurse practitioner. I work in an academic outpatient practice. I see patients in follow-up every 30 minutes, a new patient for an hour, with about an hour and a half break for lunch. So I start at 7:30 in the morning, and my last patient is scheduled at either 3:30 or 4. I've been doing this for the better part of 13 years, so you'd kind of think that at this point I'd have gotten it by now, right, on how to manage my time. But there are still many a day when I struggle with time management. Sometimes I tell people, at least those my age, and those of you on the phone, you will know who you are, that the doll Chatty Cathy was actually named after me. I think I talk too much, and, you know, it eats up time. Some days things go smoothly, and I consider it an absolute victory. Other days, well, my mother said there'd be days like that. So after being asked to provide this session some months ago, I kind of took to doing some reading on my own, and I thought, you know what, you could do a better job. I mean, I've certainly attended classes and courses and so forth over the years, but, you know, it's always good to read again and to hear some tips that seem to be such common sense. But when we actually sit down and put them into practice, some of these tips can actually be useful. So time management issues are not confined to my role as a nurse practitioner. I've had a lot of roles. I've been a nursing assistant, a med-surg nurse, a home care nurse, nurse manager, research nurse, MS nurse educator, even an OR technician, and over the last 13 years, a nurse practitioner. And it's amazing what you can pack into 32 years of nursing. But in each of these roles, there were issues with time management that needed to be managed, overcome, and dealt with. So I'm sure tonight on this call, there are those of you from various backgrounds, but I'm sure at least at some point in your careers, you have had an issue where you wished for more time. And I think that many of us say that, gosh, I could just use a little bit more time. So as was mentioned earlier, there will be a question and answer following my brief presentation. And I would hope that we would not only have questions, which are perfectly fine, but you know what? I'll bet there's some of you on the phone that are sitting there saying, well, I've done this, this, and this. I'd like to hear this, this, and this, because every one of us has a tip that we can share that can be helpful. So let me start by giving some examples of some of the ways we may manage time that maybe aren't quite so positive. Not so useful, but common strategies. Staying late. How about we add an hour or two to every day of the week, maybe more? Or how about we work on the weekends? Or if we have days off, we find ourselves answering emails, finishing projects, calling into work, going into work. Some of us may even ignore some social events and family events. Just another minute. Let me just get to this one last thing. And before you know it, everyone's in bed and you've missed out on something in the evening. How many times we've said yes to a number of things that all come to deadline around the same time? And now we're, in a way, freaking out because all of these things are due and we're spinning wheels trying to go from project to project or deadline to deadline to try and meet them all. And sometimes all of this, some of it and maybe even a good bit of it by our own doing, leaves us feeling overwhelmed and overstressed. So what are some strategies that we can use to improve on this? First of all, in my reading, I found something that was really quite useful, and that's to rename time. So we often look at time as something that's completely out of our control. So what do we say? My God, time is just flying by. It just evaporated. Can you believe it's already Easter? Where in the world has time gone? It simply disappeared. Well, the news flash really is that there have been and there always will be 24 hours in a day, period. Our problem is we often schedule ourselves for a day that really would be better if it had 36 hours. So we're trying to cram in and somehow keep organized an awful lot of information. So I think it's important to give time form, okay? For instance, what I read was make time a container, not a bottomless one either. And choose what can fit in the container. Now, if you want a 650,000-gallon drum, then that's what you're going to fill up. But if you can reasonably think of time as maybe a few gallons, then maybe you can schedule things a bit more appropriately to fit in that particular container that's going to be your workday. So consider the tasks, the projects, the patient visits, the calls, the different things that have to fit in there. And here's an important point. Don't fill it up to the top with things that are scheduled, that are you already expect to be able to accomplish. Because anyone who's in MS nursing knows that you have to expect the unexpected. So it's kind of like when you go to Starbucks and you order a coffee and they say to you, hey, do you want me to leave room for cream? And you say, oh, yeah, please leave room for cream. So in your container, leave room for the unexpected because you're always going to need it. And don't forget when you're filling up that container with all the things you need to do for work, you might want to consider, and I've been definitely called to task on this from my family, you might want to remember to add in space there for the family. So don't fill it all the way up and then expect to still have time to do the things that honestly are really the most important to us. So I like to also think, after I've done all of this, that when I'm done for the day, when I've completed everything, taken everything out of the container, completed it and put it away, I am now on vacation. I'm on vacation until the next workday, and I honestly look at it that way. Although I'm not going out of town, I'm not going to the beach, it's like a little vacation, and it doesn't start up again until the next day. It's my reward for my hard work. It's very important for us to set realistic goals and objectives. We have to have overall goals and then breaking it down into smaller pieces, into objectives. And this doesn't matter what we're doing on a daily basis, but setting these attainable objectives is very, very important to feeling a sense of accomplishment and that you have, in fact, kept to all the things in that container and been able to accomplish them. Okay? You need to have realistic expectations. We say that to our patients all the time when we're talking about their disease-modifying therapies. We also need to have realistic expectations of what one can actually accomplish in the course of a day. It is important to make lists. And I think physically writing them down the day before for the next day or the morning of when you get to work. And they will be revised, but it's important to have a priority of what you actually have to do. And it's, in my mind, very important to physically write it down. Set realistic deadlines. Okay, don't tell somebody that you can deliver something next week when you know darn well that's not likely to happen based on past experience, if nothing else. Set a realistic goal that you really believe you can meet. Here's one that I have definitely had issue with over the years. Learn to say no. We simply can't do it all. We have to learn to use our available resources. We're all good, but you know what? We're not that good. And we still can't make more out of 24 hours. When I'm in clinic, sometimes I think to myself, I'm not going to ask for help because it's just easier if I do it myself. It takes me too long to tell somebody or to educate someone as to what to do. But if I take a little bit of that time up front, then I'm likely to have a better day in the long run by utilizing my available resources. I have to get over myself. I can't do it all. And, you know, although we like to think that our job is the best job, it's not the most realistic job. Okay? So when our tasks seem like they've gotten out of control or they're enormous, it's important for us to break them down, okay, into more manageable, smaller parts, right? We need to embrace the unexpected. I have to embrace the fact that people will run into a traffic jam. People will have trouble finding a parking place. They'll struggle getting from the parking lot in, and their 10 o'clock appointment is now 10:25. So that's immediately going to have some impact, actually a huge impact, on my time management for my day. But no matter, I can't make that not happen. I can't wish it away. I have to embrace the fact that it's going to happen and not get stressed over these types of things. And I think all of us have this happen. If you're working in a hospital, it's the unexpected admission or the unexpected crash and burn of one of our patients, right? If you're in home care, there's a variety of things can impact your time. So I think we have to realize that these things are always going to happen and they are out of our control. It's important for each of us to control the things that we have control over so that when these unexpected things occur, they're not really throwing us for a loop, right? Finally, I think that we need to be flexible. We know for a fact that MS is unexpected and individualized, so we have to be able to roll with whatever's happening with us. And at the end of the day, or at the end of a busy time, or when we've been able to accomplish something that seemed insurmountable at one point or another, I think we have to reward ourselves. Personally, I like retail therapy, but, you know, for other people, it might be a long bike ride or a nice walk or being with their family, playing golf, doing nothing, watching a TV show. You know, I like to sing along with Glee on Tuesday nights, which is ridiculous, but I do it. Anyway, I think these are some of the things that I try and look at. For my day, that I did it today, in fact, before I left work, I have a small spiral notebook, and I write down, okay, listen, what maybe didn't get done as much as I wanted it today? What are my priorities when I first get in the morning? So I write them down. What is realistic for me to accomplish before I go to clinic tomorrow morning? Okay, so I write them down. And then as the day unfolds, I bring my little spiral notebook with me because things are going to come up throughout the day that when I'm out of clinic, I'm going to need to address. Well, if I don't write them down, let me tell you something, by 4 o'clock in the afternoon or 5 o'clock, I'm not going to remember what it is. So I write it down. So when I get back to my office, I can address those items. And then, of course, things that I need to put to the next day, I do the same thing in my little book. I put my voicemail messages, things I have to accomplish, and when I accomplish them, I use a yellow highlighter and I highlight them out. And let me tell you, that is such a wonderful feeling for me. I'm a little competitive by nature, so that to me is a victory, and it's a task accomplished, something that's been done and hopefully done well. And I like how that feels. And, you know, this may sound simplistic, but maybe I'm just a simpleton, but these are the ways that I try and manage my time. So I try and keep it simple. I try and set realistic goals. I'm not always successful with this. I have to say I have to thank the organizers for asking me to provide this particular presentation, because it has forced me to look critically at how I manage my own time and how I manage to get through my days. And as I close on my part of the presentation, I'd like to leave you with a little quote that I found. And this is not from the nursing literature. This is really from business management, and it's from a course on developing management skills. So here it goes. You have only so many hours in a day, so many weeks in a month, and so many years in your life. Make every second count, or 10 years will pass by quicker than you ever thought possible. And most likely, and most possibly, with very little accomplished. In fact, life is fundamentally a matter of how you spend your time. It's a never-ending stream of activities, constantly being replenished by family, friends, colleagues, and also by your dreams, your hopes, your desires, and our needs to survive. Our work life consumes, this is now away from that quote, our work life consumes a lot of our time. Time we want to have well spent. And with that, I'm going to turn it back over to Jen for questions and comments.
Great.
Jen?
Thanks so much, Kathy. I want to thank you for your candid talk, and I can't tell you how much I was holding and suppressing my own giggles because how much this resonated with me, and I'm sure with the rest of our audience members. One question I want to pose to you, and while you're answering this, I want the audience to be thinking about this. If the audience members wouldn't mind calling in and sharing some of their own personal strategies that they employ professionally or even personally that they would mind sharing. But one just practical question, Kathy, in a very busy clinic situation, this is something I personally struggle with, and I was curious if you have any ideas or how you may manage this, is that if you have a patient who's scheduled for a half-hour follow-up visit and environmental confounding factors, be what they may, traffic, weather, et cetera, and a patient comes to the clinic, you know, halfway through their scheduled appointment, in general, how do you approach trying to either accommodate them or ask them to reschedule? How have you managed that?
Yeah, so it's a dilemma. So I kind of have a little bit of rules that I share with the front desk staff on this. And it's individualized, just like MS. But in general, if the person is local, like they haven't flown in from out of town, if they're local and they've basically blown through more than 15 minutes of their appointment, I won't see them. I'll see them at the end of clinic if they can wait, but I will not see them at that time, particularly if the next person is already there, okay?
Yeah.
Because I can't do it. I mean, first of all, I'm not going to give them a very good appointment, and the next person is then going to feel shortchanged as well, and they're there on time. So as much as I don't want to punish someone for being late, there's a certain amount of time in a day. And I can tell you, when I first started, I wouldn't do that, and it would make for an incredibly stressful day. So I had to set rules. Now, that goes out the window if someone's just flown in from California to see someone in the MS clinic. You know, you figure it out. But I will often say I can't see them, and if they're willing to wait, I will, but not right now.
Yeah, that's very helpful. And then kind of as a follow-up to that, generally, if you have a patient who you have a scheduled 30 minute for and they end up taking more time than the 30 minutes and they've showed up appropriately, how do you, what's been the best way for you to try to wrap it up? Obviously, there's exceptions to every rule if somebody's having an emergency, but we all know sometimes we have those patients who just love to talk to us. so have you found any good ways to figure out how to manage that?
Yeah, so this is tough, and I have to tell you that I rationalize it being okay to be a few minutes late. Anything me more than 15 minutes late is personally unacceptable because I have so little patience when I have to wait. So I try and appreciate that. So, and I've actually done, I'm glad you brought this up, because I've actually been on a crusade. I do a lot of speaking to patient support groups and then just, you know, patient education in general. And one of the things that I have always incorporated, probably in the last couple of years, into our presentation is how someone can make the most of their appointment, because some of the onus for this has to be on the person coming in. If we give them the expectation that they can bring in a list of 45 items, which is certainly possible in MS, and we sit there and we deal with 45 items, shame on us for not having enough time in the day. So when I talk to people, I explain to them what happens in a 30-minute visit, you know, when we have to do medication reconciliation and we have to get vital signs, 25-foot walk, just walking from the waiting area back to the treatment area, for some people could really swallow up 10 minutes of your 30 minutes because they're mobility impaired. So I tell them, listen, 45 items aren't going to get dealt with well, and everyone's going to leave the visit frustrated. What are your top two? That's it. Some people might even say top one reason for being there. And now this isn't, you know, I certainly haven't gotten to every person everywhere, but it really is helping having people have a list of their medications and their allergies, their top two problems that are giving them issue. A list of the medications and the ones that need refills that I will not refill with a prescription sitting there in the clinic unless it's a controlled substance, but I'll call in later. Right, so I mean, this is part of the strategy, the long-term strategy of trying to help people get the most out of their visit. They're not going to get every question or every issue addressed in that period of time, but I'd like to think that we could address their most important issues well and then have another appointment or phone follow-up to consider some of these other things.
Yeah, great. Thank you so much, Kathy, for sharing that. I'd like to now turn it over to Joe to give instructions for go ahead. We'll open up the queue for questions.